Luke chapter number 4, I'm just going to read. Let's just read. We'll read two verses. Verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I just want to focus on one little clause in those two verses about preaching deliverance to the captives. Amen. And I just want to take a little while here this morning and just preaching deliverance. Amen. Preaching deliverance. Praise God. We need the Lord to help us here today. I feel that there is a special touch. I feel like there is a special agenda, motive, will that God desires to do in this place today. And I want to be able to minister, amen, in the Spirit today. Would you help me pray? Heavenly Father, we love you. We need you, Jesus. We need you more than anything. I pray that your divine will would be done, that it would be accomplished amongst us, Lord. The power of your Spirit prevail over every darkness, over every mindset that is not of you. God, we come against the powers of darkness. We come against the chains of bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we are preaching deliverance and we are expecting your Spirit to reach down and to do that here today. God, deliver the captive, I pray, God. Set free those, Lord Jesus, that are captive today. Let the gospel that is preached this morning bring liberty, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit of hell that comes against the mind, the body, and the spirit. Praying, God, for complete liberty. Praying, Lord, that your perfect and divine will would be accomplished today. God, we release and we speak faith into this place today. Let faith come upon every heart, upon every soul. Let a deposit of faith be distributed into every life, Lord. In the name of Jesus, 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 praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. There is a lot in these two verses of Scripture that we have chosen to use as a text this morning. There is a lot that can be unpacked in that. We could take each little phrase and begin to talk simply about the Spirit of the Lord, the necessity of the Spirit of the Lord being upon us. We could talk about the anointing that it takes to preach the gospel unto the poor, and that the anointing needs to be of God. For it is the anointing that is capable of destroying the yokes of bondage. Praise God. I love the complete definition of that, or the complete rendering of that, of how that it is broken down, in that he said that it would be the Lord that was anointing him to preach the gospel to the poor. And it does take the anointing. Preaching in of itself is not sufficient. It's not good enough. We must have the anointing of God. You know as well as I know that there are so many denominations that are out there that speak the Bible, that teach the Bible, and that would preach Scripture. That does not mean that they are preaching truth. It just simply means that they are using the Bible, hopefully, as a launching point. But when the preacher, the speaker becomes anointed of God, there are not only spectacular things that can happen, but miraculous things that begin to happen in the Spirit. And that is what it is all about. Amen. Praise God. We are here today not because we need another club to join, not because that we need the social fellowship that we do enjoy in the church, but we are here today because we desire to be saved. Amen. Being saved from a world of sin, being saved from all of our entanglements with sin, being saved from everything that we involve ourselves in and mess our lives up. And so we need anointed preaching. We do not necessarily conclude that anointed preaching is when people begin to yell and begin to scream. That's not necessarily anointed preaching, but sometimes screaming kind of scares the devil off, and so we do plenty of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we need anointed preaching. Amen. Anointed to preach the gospel. That word anointed there, as in when the old prophet said that it would be the anointing that would destroy the yoke. The yoke. You are going to be yoked up one way or another. You'll either be yoked up with the world and with the entanglements of the world and with the enemy of your soul, or you will be yoked up with God. And Jesus advised us and admonished us that we would take his yoke upon us. Praise God. It's not God forcing himself upon you, but it is that you submit yourself to God and allow God to begin to work with you. That's what yoking is. Yoking is you don't put the yoke on the oxen or the mules or whatever and then just stick them out in the field to eat. But when the yoke is there, it's time to work. Time to work. And the Lord, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. And the anointing destroys the yokes of bondage. In other words, when it talks about destroys, it means that it is broken. In other words, it's not capable of being put back on. It's broken. It's destroyed. And we can take the connotation of that, and we can say that the anointing of the Lord coming, what it enables or what it really does is it makes us fat. Praise God. Some of us, like me, are an understanding here. I can understand stuff like that. But what it does is you become fat in the spirit, and you break the yokes, but they don't fit on you anymore. Praise God. I want the Lord to help us here today. Praise God. Amen. But I want to endeavor to major upon the clause here where Jesus said to preach deliverance to the captives. There is so much that's going through my mind right now, and so I am kind of thankful for a few notes here today. Not many, but amen. It'll at least help me to get out and away from all of these little rabbit trails that are running a little bit of everywhere right now. Praise God. Amen. But what we are speaking of today and concerning deliverance is essential and necessary and goes all the way back to the beginning of humanity. God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul, and he put him to sleep, would make of him a helpmate, and therefore we have Adam and Eve. I do not know how long that Adam and Eve lived in the garden before the serpent appeared, or if it was just a common thing that he came. But in Genesis 3, we see that the serpent begins to speak to Eve and begins to try to get her to question the word of God. And so she he questioned the word of God, and then he refuted the word of God. Questioning the word of God, he just simply said, hath God said. And when Eve replied back to him, stating, yes, the Lord hath said, and then the enemy refuted what God said, and he said, well, that's not going to happen. Hath God said that you will surely die? Oh, yeah, yeah. God said that in the day that we eat of it, we shall surely die. And the enemy says, well, that's not going to happen. Praise God. I think that is important that we realize that when the devil comes against us, that it typically is going to happen this way, that he is going to question the word of God. Does the word of God really say that I should not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Does the word of God really say that I shouldn't do this or do that? Does the word of God say that it is an abomination and stuff? And then you say, oh yeah, 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 the Bible does. The Bible says right here. And then that doubt begins to creep in, and the devil says, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Amen. And then the Bible said that because that judgment did not come speedily, amen, because that when you took of the fruit, that God didn't strike you with lightning. Amen. I feel like if Eve would have ate the fruit and God would have struck her with lightning, Adam probably would have stepped back and said, whoa, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'll just scoot on over here a little bit. But because that judgment did not come speedily, amen, the Bible said that the hearts of men was set to do evil continually. Because that mercy prevailed over judgment, they continued to do what was wrong. I could take some time and I could go look at Samson, and we could go to the book of Numbers, chapter number 6, and we could see. I'm going to take this clock and I'm going to put it right up here so that I can see it. That doesn't mean anything, but I'm going to look at it at least. But in the book of Numbers, chapter number 6, we could see that the Lord, concerning the vow of the Nazarite, put in a whole lot of things there, a whole lot of things. And then when Samson, and we're going to talk about him here in just a minute, but when Samson began to do some things, the Bible teaches us that before Samson ever had a haircut, that he had already broken a lot of the vows of the Nazarite. He had touched dead things. He had taken honey out of a carcass. He wasn't supposed to partake of the fruit of the vine and the husk and stuff, but yet the Bible said that he went down to Timnath, which was known for their vineyards, for their wine. Samson, what are you doing down there if you're not supposed to be partaking of that? And I believe that Samson's justification was, I can handle it. I can handle it. I can get past that. I can get over that. I'm big enough to do that. I'm mature enough to do that. I don't have to be as cautious and stuff. I'm strong enough to take care of that. Amen. And so there was a lot of things that people did not see about Samson, and God's mercy was upon Samson. But finally, judgment came. We know that Samson got himself a haircut, and when it was manifest unto all, then judgment came. And so mercy had rejoiced against judgment. In reality, I would have to say that Samson was probably deceived by mercy. Because that judgment did not come when he reached down into the hollow of that dead carcass and he pulled the honey out thereof, because that he wasn't electrocuted or something, he thought that it was okay. He thought that he could get by with something. I think that there is an imperative danger that is involved here, in that you need your own revelation. Praise God. You need, and you say, oh, do I get to interpret? No, 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 no. You don't get to interpret Scripture however that you want to interpret Scripture. You need to rightfully divide the Word. And you need to study the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And just because that you have gotten away with something and done something does not mean that God has changed his opinion on the doctrine. He has changed his opinion upon what he stated or what he established. Just because that you didn't get smote by lightning, just because that somebody else got away with it, doesn't mean that you can all of a sudden get away with it. We understand that sin is sin. And sin has got a way of being deceptive, and sin has got a way of sneaking and creeping into the place just like a snake, just like the serpent did in Eve's day, and that you didn't even know that the snake was there, that the serpent was there, and then all of a sudden, whoa, there it is. And then it begins to talk to you. Something's wrong. But sin taking occasion by itself, Paul said, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Amen. And before I knew it, the Bible teaches, he said that before sin came, he said, I had no sin. And then Paul went on later and he said that when the word came, sin revived and I died. Praise God. And so that's just the way that sin works. Amen. Sin's ability, sin's strength is in its sneakiness, in its deceptiveness. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Let me say that again. Sin's power and his ability is in its sneakiness and in its deception. Praise God. Can I just go to the book of Exodus and show you there in chapter 2, I believe it is, of where Moses, and we'll get to Moses in a moment of time. Maybe I should go stick with my notes. But can I talk to you about Moses, of how that when there was the Egyptian that was beating one of his brothers, the Bible says that he looked this way and that way. That's exactly what it says. He looked this way and that way. And when he saw that nobody was looking, he committed sin. When you've got to look this way and that way in order to see who's looking or who's not looking, chances are you shouldn't be doing it. If you've got to hide in the room so that nobody can see you, chances are you shouldn't be doing it. If whatever that you're doing, amen, if you've got to hide it from everybody and hope that nobody finds out and figure, whoa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've got to talk on the phone in the recesses of quietness and secretive and privacy so that nobody hears you, and I'm not talking about a delicate issue, I'm talking about gossip. And if you've got to do that so that nobody hears you, chances are it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Let me ask you a question. How did you ever get to that place? How did you come to that place, amen, where you began to do these things? Amen. It's just the way of sin. Sin is sneaky. Sin is creepy. And just because that it's sneaky and just because it's creepy does not justify anything. And that's the mentality of the world. Amen. The world wants to blame the problems on the previous generation. The upcoming world wants to blame the problems upon the way that mom and dad treated them, the way that grandpa and grandma treated them. Amen. Want to blame their problems on somebody else. Want to blame their attitude upon the boss. Want to blame, amen, the way that they are because of their job or because of their financial situation. Amen. As they sit with the psychologist and they begin to discuss everything. They want to use justification of why it's everybody else's fault. Amen. It's not everybody else's fault. Number one, it is the way of sin to entice you. It is the way of sin to entice you, amen, and to get you to begin to look at these things, begin to listen to these things. Eve, what are you even doing listening to the snake, amen? But there was Eve as she began to listen to this snake, and the snake began to talk, because that's just the way that you don't have time to listen to sin. You don't have time, amen, to listen to all the voices that are out there in the world. Paul said,
there are many voices that are out there that are among us, and none without signification. Every one of them has got a purpose. Every one of them has got an agenda. Every one of them is trying to sway your feelings one way or another. Don't think that the devil has just come to play with you. Don't think that the devil, amen, is just going to play games with you. The devil's got a purpose, and that is to destroy you. Jesus said that the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy you. Amen. Satan is not just interested, amen, in stealing you out of the hands of God. Satan is not just interested in killing you spiritually, because he knows that backsliders can be restored. Amen. But it's a state of digression. Amen. He's going to steal you out of the hands of God, and he's going to kill you spiritually. But friend, what he really wants to do is make you a mockery. Amen. In the face of God. Make you a mockery. Amen. Among the things of God, the people of God, and bring so much shame upon you that you don't want to come back to the house of God. Shame and embarrassment, amen, seems to rule your life. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Oh, let's love the Lord today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just feel led to say, amen, that if it was wrong for Peter, James, and John, if it was wrong for all of the apostles, then it's wrong for us today. If it was wrong, amen, I say this carefully because I understand that the law, amen, has been fulfilled. Amen, and Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. Amen, but there's still some things that if it was wrong in the Old Testament times, it's wrong for us today. I understand that we are in the dispensation of grace, and thank God for grace, which just simply means I'm going to get what I don't deserve. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but by the grace of God, which leads me and hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. I'm here today to tell you, if it was wrong for them, it's wrong for us today. I don't care, amen, who it is that has declared that was just for Bible times. He's a false prophet. I don't care, amen, who passed it through the Senate in the House and made it a law. Just because the government approves it does not make it right. God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. You can discuss it, but friend, God put in his word what he wanted in his word, and it is settled. Praise God. Was going through some things the other day, and something popped up on a Facebook feed, and it talked about how that the Catholics are the original way of religion, that they're the original religion, and that they have their origination, and their starting point was at AD 33, and that the that the one that started it all was Jesus Christ himself. And I thought, you know what, you got part of that right. The part of it that's right is that religion started with Jesus Christ. And the part of it that's right is when it started on the day of Pentecost in AD and 33. But the part that's wrong is it wasn't the Catholics. Amen. Because the Catholics, I'm trying to be careful. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but this is just the truth of the matter is, amen, the Catholics have never spoken in tongues. Amen. They continue to worship Mary and say their Hail Marys and all that other stuff. And you find it explicitly written out in their encyclopedias, in the Catholic encyclopedia, that they changed the mode of baptism in the second century. Amen. They don't have it. They don't have it. And I'll just go out to say there's Pentecostal that don't have it. I really don't care what you call yourself. I prefer to be called a Christian. Amen. I identify with apostolic because that's the way of the apostles. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But I also relate to Pentecost as it was on the day of Pentecost. I am apostolic in doctrine and Pentecostal in experience. You want to know how we act? Go read Acts chapter number 2. You want to know what we preach? Go read, amen, the Pauline epistles.
amen, and see that is what we are, praise God. And the only way that we're going to keep that is we got to continue to preach against sin. We still got to raise the banner up. We still got to preach truth. It doesn't matter if our church is not 500 or 5,000. Who cares if we got 5,000 and everybody's lost and on the way to the hell? What we need is somebody that's not going to be swayed by fear or by favor, by money or by anything, and that'll stand up and preach. It's still a sin to lie. It's still a sin to be deceptive. It's still a sin, amen, to cuss. It's still a sin to live in fornication. Still adultery is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. And I'm here today to tell you that God hates sin, but God so loved the world. God loved the sinner. He said, you're bound up, but I'm going to bring deliverance to you. You're bound up, but I'm going to make a way for you. You're bound up, but I've got hope for you. Thank God for that hope. I didn't deserve it. I was bound up with anger. I was bound up with deceit. I was bound up by a lot of things. But God, in His mercy, but God had mercy upon me. And by His grace, I am saved.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. It didn't take long for sin to abound. Amen. The Bible teaches us that sin did abound. We go from one commandment, which just simply was, thou shalt not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to 10 commandments. But 10 commandments would soon multiply and would be over 600 different Mosaic commandments. Amen. Because of the way that sin abounded. But thank God that the Bible didn't stop there, but it went on to say that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Praise God. Amen. When I see that word much more, that means exponentially. Amen. That does not mean that when sin was 2, that grace was 4. And that when sin became 3, that grace was 6. Amen. Grace exponentially abounded. You know why? Because it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. I don't care. I don't care what kind of sin that you've got yourself involved in. Amen. There's not just 2 hands of God reaching down to save you, but there's hands that have been ordained from in the church. Amen. There's preachers that's got hands out trying to reach you. There's saints of God that have got hands out trying to reach you. Amen. You may be bound up by one sin. Amen. But there are multiple hands that are trying to reach you. Amen. And trying to help you. Amen. Jesus said, amen, these things have happened because that I have been appointed and anointed to preach the gospel, amen, to preach deliverance unto the captive. Amen. And the devil wouldn't be put off by, amen, what happened with Adam and Eve. Amen. That was in Genesis 3. In Genesis 6, the world has become so immoral and so messed up that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination and the thought of his heart was evil, only evil continually. That it repented God that he had even made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Amen. Sin didn't take long to get the upper hand. Praise God. But after the ark, we only get to Exodus chapter number 2. When we see that the children of Israel are in bondage and will have been in bondage for some 400 years. But it came to pass in the process of time that when the king of Egypt died, that the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. And of course, amen, for each of these, God had an answer of deliverance. With Adam and Eve, there was the answer of the lamb, the blood, the coat that was shed, the animal whose blood was shed, amen, for their redemption. With the children of Israel, there was Moses that God had raised up to bring to them, to deliver them out of bondage. And in Judges chapter number 13, We see again that the children of Israel are in bondage. But the Bible says that the Lord began to speak unto Manoah's wife and would say that she was going to have a son and that the son would be a Nazarite from his birth up. And he said it like this, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. God specifically designed deliverance for, amen, the children of Israel. In Esther chapter number 4, we would see that that the affliction of the people, amen, was upon the children of God. And they were looking to kill out all of the Jews. But God already had a plan of deliverance there. As Mordecai would tell Esther, amen, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God had a plan of deliverance before there was an issue there. Amen. The Bible says that in Romans 5 and 20, moreover, the law entered that the offenses might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God. There was always a plan. John 1 and 1 says, in the beginning was the plan, was the word. And the word, or the plan, was with God. And the plan was God. Amen. Praise God. The Logos. So there was always a plan. Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God initiated his plan. He put his plan into action. Praise God. And he came among his own to seek and to save that which was lost. He let Peter and the rest of the apostles know what the plan would incorporate from then on. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is going to be the source of power, amen, to speak and to help people to receive the deliverance that they need. Praise God. Amen. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me just stop right there and interject that this is the dogma of so many religions out there, to call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Let me just say that the fallacy of this and the myopic view that these people have is that they can only see one verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I encourage you to zoom out just a little bit and read the entire chapter, and that Paul's prayer was that Israel might be saved. And then as he gets into this, he begins to say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he did not stop there. And that's where the problem is with too many people, is they stop there. Because the very next verse says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You gotta believe on somebody before you call upon them. But when you call upon them to help you, you believe that they are going to help you. What do I need help in? Paul went on to say, and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Somebody's gonna have to tell you about him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You don't need an auto mechanic. You don't need a psychologist. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a doctor. You don't need, amen, a painter. You don't need, amen, some construction worker. You don't need, amen, you need God, and you need a preacher to talk to you about God. Then why are we going to aunts and uncles and asking aunts and uncles about what they believe when the preacher has preached these things? Let me just tell you something. Amen. If you're sick and you've got a pain down here in your side, you don't need to come to me for your answer.
I don't have your answer. I have prayer and I can pray for you. If you come to me, amen, because that your car won't stop, you all won't start, you've come to the wrong person. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know anything about the combustible engine. Amen. If you come to me about a lot of things, you've come to the wrong person. I don't have the answer for some of those things. But if you need to hear from God, if you need to know what the Word of God says, then you need a preacher. You don't need the mechanic. You don't need the construction worker. You need a preacher. Oh, Jesus. And let me just step out a little step further. Somebody move these. Amen. Let me step out here just a little bit further here today and say to you, you don't even need counseling. I've come way too far for too long. And I'll tell you that counseling doesn't work a whole lot. People are trying to hear what they want to hear. What we need is anointed preaching that'll come in and preach the Word of God. It's in a service like this that sin is confused. It's in a service like this that sin gets nervous. We need sin to get nervous. We need sin to be uncomfortable. God forbid that sin can feel comfortable on the pew. You need somebody that's going to preach you under conviction. You don't need somebody that's going to pat you on the back and say that they feel that you need to feel good about yourself and say you've come through a whole lot. Thank God you've come through a whole lot, but we're not done. When going through hell, don't stop. Keep on going. Find an altar and pray through and get the Holy Ghost again. Oh yeah, the devil hates this kind of preaching. And if this kind of preaching is upset at you, amen, you need to look in the mirror and you need to see what spirit it is, amen, that is motivating you. What spirit it is that is driving you. I'm here to try to preach deliverance to you. I'm here to preach you out of darkness. I'm here to preach you out of bondness. I'm here to preach you out of deception. I'm here to preach you out of the sneaky ways of the enemy. How many times do you have to lie to yourself and tell yourself that it's okay? Amen. When the Holy Ghost is pricking your heart. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is tapping you on the shoulder saying, You know that you shouldn't be doing that. But there you are looking this way and looking that way. Amen. That's what sin wants you to do. Amen. You need to put away all of that foolishness. Amen. Has anybody been reading the paper this week? Has anybody been staying up on the news this week? Do you not realize that even this morning that Israel made it. Amen. Israel made it declared. They declared war yesterday, but they put it in paper today. It is there. Israel has declared war. Amen. You got war among the Israelis and the Palestinians. You got war among the Ukrainians and the Russians. And you got an earthquake that killed 2,000 in Afghanistan. Do you not know that the Bible says that in the last day there shall be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places? You don't have long to live for God. You don't have long, amen, to make it right. You don't have time to be gossiping about all these other things. You don't have time to be sneaking around sinning and hiding things from everybody. You think that you're hiding it, but God said you're bound up, and I've got a preacher that's going to come to you today, and he's going to preach. And if you will hear the preaching and respond to the preaching, you can be saved. But if you don't want to hear the preaching and you don't want to respond to the preaching, there's nothing that I can do to help you. Amen. Jesus didn't say, amen, that the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to go grab them and to drag them out to an altar and to drag them through life and to make it right. He simply said, no. I'm here to preach. I'm here to preach. And when I preach, something can happen. But you have got to respond to the preaching.
I'm getting ready to close here in a few minutes. I know that's relative, but nevertheless, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. We find this problem in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. And Jesus had need to go to Gadara. And so he gets on the boat and he sails across. And when he gets there, there is one that comes running to the feet of Jesus and falls at his feet. That's still right in this day and time. Amen. Even the devils are subject. Because it was the devils that began to speak to Jesus. And the devils began to say, not necessarily that man. The Lord looked at the man and he said, what is your name? I'm here today to tell you that some of you are bound up right here. And that people are asking, what is your name? And you're like Jacob, you're a little bit intimidated and a little bit embarrassed to say what your name is. My name is Deceiver. My name is Deception. My name is Heel Grabber. And what he was saying is that's what I've always been known as. I've always been known as a deceiver. I've always been known as the one that got into trouble. I've always been known as the one that pushed the envelope. I've always been known as the one that tried to get by with everything that could be gotten by with. I'm always the one that was present but never heard anything because I had it my own way. I listened to my own thing. I did what I want. I justified what I wanted to justify. Did what I wanted to do. And you see, that's all fun and games, and that's easy to snicker and laugh at the whole time that it's happening until Jesus shows up. And then when Jesus shows up and you're put in the spotlight, all of a sudden you don't want to be in the spotlight anymore. You know, let me just throw this in here. I just felt this. But the Bible says that without pride, there cannot be any type of contention. Pride's got to be involved in it somewhere. And you know that pride does not know how to listen. Pride won't listen. The only thing that pride says is, I know. I know. You know why that is? Is because pride, amen, thinks that he knows everything. Pride will not listen. Amen. Pride is only listening and trying to figure out a way to respond to the question. Amen. Instead of listening to the situation and just taking it and saying, oh, I need that. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. They're sitting there already trying to figure out, how am I going to spin this? Who can I blame this on? What can I blame this on? I can blame it on a hard time back there. Praise God, my Lord Jesus. That's good. I know a preacher. And I don't know, he still may be preaching to this day. God help us. But I'm just simply saying, right is right and wrong is wrong. But I know a preacher, amen, that when he gets aggravated and mad, amen, he starts cussing. But then he always turns it around and spins it back around and he says, I apologize for all that. Like 2 days later, he'll apologize. He'll say, but that's when a beam hit me in the head when we were building the church and I just can't control that. Amen. Let me just tell you something. First of all, you're a liar. I'm going to tell you what you can't control, and that's your worldly, carnal nature that you don't have control of. Amen. That you wear, amen, a coat of righteousness, but all of a sudden, when that anger begins to spew out of you and begins to boil, you don't know how to contain it, and you begin to cuss somebody. That's still wrong. That's still sin. I don't care what happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I don't care what happened. I don't care what happened in my past. Sin is sin. And I need something to come to break the bondage of that. I need something to come that, amen, declares it. I need something that comes, amen, and gets emphatic with me and says, boy, what is your name? My name is Deception. Amen. Some of us feel more comfortable lying to God than even the devil does. Because the Lord asked him, he said, what is your name? And the devil said, Legion. Devil didn't say, righteousness.
Devil didn't say spirituality. The devil said, I'm legion. And so then the devil asked, he said, have you come to torment us before our time? Oh, somebody needs to hear this here today. I'm on somebody's golden calf right now. I'm in somebody's life right now. You need to pay attention and to listen what God is talking to you about. I'll just tell you, I tried to push this down, amen, sometime yesterday and sometime last night. Amen, I'm going to get to really what I was going to title this, and the Lord just kind of redirected it all. Amen, but I didn't really want to do that. And I tried to push it down. I tried to push it out. Amen, and after over an hour in prayer this morning, amen, and nothing was coming up, I figured I better go do what God had to say. You know why? Because God wants to save you. God wants to help you. God wants to deliver you. Amen, but what it's going to take is the Lord Jesus said, I have come to preach deliverance. You're not going to get delivered on your own accord. You've got to have somebody that's going to preach hell off of you. Somebody that's going to preach the shackles off of you. You need delivered. And so the devil said, have you come to torment us before our time? He said, if you're going to cast us out, then cast us into that swine that's over there. Some of you know what the swine represent figuratively. But you want me to tell you what those swine represented spiritually? And I'm not necessarily just talking about secret sin, because that's really what it was. The Jews were not to have swine. They weren't to be around the swine. They weren't to eat of swine. And so they kept them out of the city so nobody would, amen, think bad of them. If they got a swine farm in their backyard, then everybody's going to say, you're sinning. So what do? We hide it on the outskirts of town and we let somebody else keep it while we just partake of it and we bring in the benefits of it all. And I guess figuratively, that's what it is. And spiritually, you can say that's the secret sin. But let me tell you the way that hell is. Amen. Let me tell you the way that your friend, the devil, is. Amen. He's not your friend. Amen. Amen. But let me just tell you the way that it is. When the devil said, all right, I tell you what. If I've got to go, then send me into that swine over there. You know why? Because I'm going to make a mockery of everybody that I can make a mockery out of. I'm going to embarrass. I'm going to shame. I'm going to do, on the way out, I'm going to kick, fight, bust, and cuss. Amen. Scratch and scream all the way out, and I'm going to expose, amen, and he was there to embarrass everybody. That's what hell wants to do. Hell wants to embarrass you. Hell wants to shame you. And God said, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay, because they need deliverance too. And so you can go and you can shame. But when it's all come clean and when it's all out in the wash, amen, those Jews need deliverance just like this demoniac needs deliverance. Amen, you need deliverance in your spirit. But you need deliverance from the things that have bound you. You need deliverance from the things that have hounded you. You need deliverance from the things, amen, that has encased you and held you for so long. So let me bring it to a close. And the demons came out of the man of Gadara. And they went and they jumped in the swine. And the swine ran and ran overboard, ran over the cliff, and they drowned in the sea. And those that were the keepers of the swine, they went into the city. And they began to talk. We're going to call them the captive. Oh yeah. Are you hearing me today? The captive. They didn't know they were captive. They didn't know they were slaves. And that's the worst kind. Such as the religious world of this entire generation. They don't even know they're captive and that they're slaves. But I'm preaching to people today, and you listen to me. You listen to me. Because when the keeper of the swine came and said, hey, you know that man with that you've been trying to tame? You know that man that you've been trying to tame?
that situation that you've been trying to control, that environment, that worldly lust, that fire of emotion that you've been trying to tame. You know, the problem is you don't want delivered. You want your situation to be tamed. Because you like it. You just don't like it when it controls you. You like it when you control it. But every once in a while, that it begins to rear its ugly head and begins to demand attention. That passion, that desire, that pride, that problem, that situation. You don't want deliverance from it. You know why you don't, you know why I can stand today and say that you don't want deliverance from it? Because you're having that problem again and again and again and again and again. That's not God. The Bible said that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now you say, well, preacher, do you have the same problem come to you at different times? Yes, I do, and yes, you are right. The deal is I don't want it tamed. I don't want it just beat into submission. I want delivered. Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 And so there are times that it comes around and it wants to, hey man, kind of poke its head up from the grave. And I have to do a Holy Ghost stomp and say, no, devil, you're staying down there. I've got power over you. Greater is he that is in me. God has given me power over all of this. And I go running back down to the feet of Jesus. And I say, Jesus, don't leave. I need deliverance. You see, that therein is your problem. You don't come running back down to the altar. You don't come running back down to the feet of Jesus. You try to stay back on the side and stand strong. Oh, I'm strong. I can handle this. No, you can't handle it. You don't need a church, amen, that just tames your demons down. You see, that's what everybody is looking for. Amen, that demon of alcoholism. Amen, I still like to drink a little bit on the side. Not me, I'm just saying. Amen, somebody would say, I still like to drink a little bit on the side, but you're an alcoholic and you know all about it. Amen, and you can't have that demon tamed. You've got to be delivered of it. We got six of these. They'll fix it if I'm too loud. They'll fix it. Just give them a little bit of time. Just don't lose. Amen. What's going on? That demon of pornography wants to raise its head and wants to sit. Hey man, you can't put it in a closet and say, shut the door and say, hey man, you got to stay in there for now. You don't need it tamed. You need delivered. That demon of worldly lust and fornication and idolatry, amen, wants to stick its head up, amen, through some, amen, burning hunk of desire, some, amen, marvelous man or some fleecy woman, amen, wants to stick its head up and say, you don't need to say, you got to stay in the closet somewhere. You need to come running back to the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm here for deliverance. I'm not looking to put shackles upon it. I'm not looking to bind it with fetters
of iron. I'm not looking to do that. It's happened too many times to me. I need deliverance. I'm here to preach deliverance to somebody today. I'm here to try to help somebody today. That old devil is shaking some skeletons in your closet. It's not time to shut the closet and to put your fingers in your ears. It's time to run to an altar. It's time to get down to this altar and say, Jesus, I need deliverance today. I need your help today. I'm not interested in taming my demons. I want to be delivered.
Let's stand here today. Amen. Some of you are already trying to figure out how that you can shut the closet. Some of you are already trying to figure out how that you can put the shackles and the fetters of iron upon your situations. You don't need taint. You need deliverance. You need to come down to this altar. You need to submit yourself therefore to God. You need to resist the devil. And the Bible says that he will flee from you. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give the devil another look. Don't give the devil an opportunity. You need deliverance today. And Jesus said, I've come to preach deliverance to you. That's what I've come here today to do. I've come to preach deliverance to you. I've come to preach the shackles off of you. I've come to preach the bonds and the fetters of iron off of you. I've come to preach deliverance. Come on, you need deliverance. Your ways are not good enough. How many times have you tried it and it hasn't worked? How many times do you not understand that you're going through the same thing again and again and again and again? You need a man of God to preach it off of you. You need a man of God to preach it out of you. You need a man of God to stand and to declare, thus saith the word of God. That's it. Cry out to him. Amen. As the man of God preaches, repent, repent, repent. The devil hates repentance. The devil hates a message of repentance. The devil hates the key of repentance. Repentance is going to unlock your shackles. Repentance is going to loose your fetters of iron. Repentance is going to set you free. Go ahead, cry out to him. It doesn't matter what kind of shame the devil wants to say. Amen. And try to embarrass you out of it. I got to make it to heaven. I got to make it to heaven. I need deliverance. I need to be set free. I need deliverance today, preacher. Instead of going home and cleaning up your song list, amen, that's on your phone, you just made a declaration. I'm just not going to listen to it. You're going to tame it down. How often has that worked for you? How many times has that worked for you? You need deliverance. You don't need it tamed. Somebody help me pray. Somebody help me pray. The Spirit of God is moving in this place. There is an anointing that is key. There is an anointing that is essential. There is an anointing that must take place. As Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me. The anointing is here today. Amen. I'm not just anointed, but this house is anointed. The Spirit is anointed. The presence of God is anointed in this place. There's enough anointing to break that yoke off of you. There's enough anointing, amen, to break, amen, that captivity that's got you bound by. We just need the Holy Ghost again.
I'm just not going to go visit those sites anymore. Amen. You don't need to tame it down. You need deliverance from it. You need deliverance from it. Amen. If you need to go get you a flip phone that you have no internet service, then you need to do that. But what you need is deliverance. Without it, you're lost. You're going to be lost. You're not going to be saved. You need to be saved. I'm here to preach deliverance. I'm here to open your eyes. I'm here to make every devil in hell uncomfortable. Come on, this world doesn't need another passive message. This world doesn't need a message of justification. This world doesn't need, amen, a message of self-motivation to make you feel good. This world needs a message of repentance. This world needs a message that'll preach, amen, the sinners into an altar. Amen, that'll have them bare-knuckled, white-knuckled, amen, on the pews as they're waiting for an altar call. This world needs a preacher that when he preaches, they can't wait for an altar call. They run. They run. They run to the altar. Amen. That demoniac didn't need an altar call. He just knew that when Jesus was in the house, I gotta get right. You need to get right today. You need to pray through today. You need to make it right with God. You need deliverance. Come on, hear me this morning. Yeah, I'm going overboard. I'm preaching deliverance. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm wrestling a spirit that's got you bound up. Hey, man, I'm in a war here today. Listen to me this morning. If you got to look this way and that way, it's wrong. If you got to find out who's listening to you, it's probably wrong. If you got to find out who's watching you, it's wrong. If you gotta hide in the bedroom, it's wrong. If you gotta hide in a bathroom, it's wrong. If you gotta hide in the dark, it's wrong. If you gotta look this way and that way, it's wrong. You need deliverance. You need deliverance. You don't need a flashlight. You need deliverance. God, I need you. 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 I'm running to the altar today. God, I need you. God, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak deliverance right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Amen. Let this faith get a hold of you. The preaching has brought faith, and faith has shined down in your heart. Get a hold of it today. Accept it. By faith, I'm coming out. By faith, I'm moving on. By faith, I'm walking out of here. By faith, the shackles are falling off. By faith, the fetters are coming off. I'm gonna get deliverance by faith. Jesus! 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 Have you come to torment us before our time? No, I've just come to put you in your place. I've come to set the captive free. I've come to preach deliverance to the captive. It's about time some of you get so sick and tired of what the devil's doing in your life. If you would be honest with yourself, the devil's ruling and the devil's reigning in your life. Amen. He's got you on a little chain. And as soon as you get to that place of spirituality, he just yanks your chain again. And there you go, falling head over heels back down that hill again. Some of you need to stand up and declare in Jesus' name, today, this morning is my day. Now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be set free. Come on, I still hear the devil snickering and laughing. Yeah, I'll just stay over here for another night or two, chained up in my shackles, chained up in my fetters of iron. Amen. But in another week or two, I'm going to come back out. Amen, Jesus. I don't need this chained down. I don't want my devils chained down. I want to be delivered. Preach to me. Talk to me. Amen. Preach me under conviction. Preach me into the altar. Preach me out of the gates of hell. Oh, yeah. Hey, miss, you that's at the wells drawing water. What you need is a Holy Ghost revival. You need a draw from the waters of living life. Amen. She began to think about it, but she had some problems, and she had a demon of fornication. She had a demon of adultery that was chained down, but every once in a while it reared its angry head, and she said, Lord, I have no husband. Deception. And the Lord said, oh, you come talking to the wrong man. Amen. Because I'm telling you, you don't have a husband. You've had a few of them. And the one that you're with right now is not. Amen. What was Jesus doing? He was speaking deliverance to that lady. He was speaking deliverance to her. He was telling her, hey, I'm here to deliver you. I'm here to set you free from that bondage that you're in. Preacher, what are you doing? I'm preaching deliverance. I'm preaching deliverance. I'm preaching deliverance. The psychologist will say, we got to get down to the bare roots of it. We got to get down to the cause of all of this. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching deliverance. I'm preaching deliverance. I'm not preaching the effects of it. I'm preaching the cause of it. Amen. I'm preaching the cause of it. You've got too many things that you've allowed into your life. Amen. That come snickering. That come, amen, yelling and screaming every once in a while. I'm talking about the cause of it. Delete that number out of your phone. Delete it. Delete it. I'm preaching deliverance. I'm preaching deliverance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm not here to make your devils comfortable. I'm here to make your devils aggravated. I'm not trying to aggravate you. I'm trying to get the devils to leave you alone. Amen. And I feel that every devil is probably parked on the outside, waiting for you to come back out. Amen. To get a hold of you. But today is your day of deliverance. You can get deliverance right here in the altar right now. And when you get deliverance, God is going to send that demon packing. Yes, we're not tiptoeing through the tithers. Who cares if you pay all of your tithe and you die lost because of something? Your money matters not. We got to have deliverance. Got to have salvation. We got to have truth. Ah, yes. Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, come on. God's been dealing with you. God's been talking to you. God's been moving upon you. Amen, but you're not listening. You're not listening. You just rather tame them down. I can handle it. I'm big enough. I can do it. Amen, it doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. I'm big enough. I can handle it. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm not big enough. I can't handle it. I need God. I need Jesus. I need total deliverance. I'm not interested in trying to tone something down. I'm not interested in justification. I'm not interested in just getting by. I'm not interested in trying to sneak into heaven, amen, and then finding out at the last second I've been barred out. Hallelujah. Come on, the real church is going to have power when we preach like this here today. Amen, amen, amen. If you're involved in sin and you're on this platform, you need deliverance. If you're not on this platform, you still need deliverance. But don't be bringing your sinful ways up on this platform. Amen. Don't be desecrating a holy place by your sin. Amen. You have enough gumption and enough backbone to say, I need to sit down for a while. I can respect that. I can respect that. Amen, but don't bring your bondage up here and cause everybody else to be bound up. Amen, we got to have deliverance. Amen, and if liberty can't start on the platform, if liberty can't start in a holy place, amen, then we just out of luck, and we don't need luck. We need God. But if we all pray through, and if we all do what we're supposed to do, I'm telling you, the anointing will flow from the platform through the first pew, the second pew, and all the way through the house. From right to left, front to back, back to front, left to right, right to left. The whole house will be full of the anointing of God.
We need deliverance. We need deliverance. You don't need justification. You need deliverance. Come on, if your testimony is, I've always had this problem, then you've just been taming it. You need deliverance. You need deliverance. Come on, don't let me become your enemy because that I tell you the truth. I'm just preaching Bible. I promise you, I'm trying to help everybody in this place today. I'm trying to help you. Amen. I'm trying to preach myself under conviction. Amen. What is it? What does it profit if I can preach to others and myself be a castaway? Oh, God, help me. Help us all. Help us all. Help us all, Jesus. Help us all. Help us all, Jesus. Hallelujah.